The Old Testament reading for Ash Wednesday is from Joel chapter 2. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending to you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied. And I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 6. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors, and yet we are true. As unknown, and yet are well known. As dying, and behold, we live. As punished, and yet not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing everything. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text this evening is Matthew chapter 6, 1-6 and 16-21, the gospel lesson just read. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, on this week in 1522, an event took place in the city of Zurich, Switzerland, that became the initial cause of the Reformation in all lands not directly under the influence of Martin Luther. That event was a meal that included the eating of two smoked sausages by 12 people on the evening before the first Sunday in Lent. This was a violation of the rules of fasting that had long precedent in the Christian church. Ulrich Zwingli, the celebrated preacher of Zurich, was there and enjoyed the meal with his friends, but he did not eat the smoked sausages. 2 weeks later, Zwingli preached about the smoked sausages with the title Regarding the Choice and Freedom of Foods. We still have a translation of that today. Zwingli's main point was that the eating of foods should not be regulated by the church, either in general or for special fasting days. Zwingli taught that the eating of foods, or refraining from them in a fast, was a decision for the individual Christian to make as a private decision in evangelical freedom. Martin Luther agreed with Zwingli on these points, because Zwingli had plenty of scripture to back him up on this position. And so it became the universal Protestant view, which is still held today. Zwingli's Roman Catholic opponents, for their part, had plenty of church tradition on their side. The prescription of the 40 days of Lent as a mandatory fast, that means you had to do it, can be traced as far back as the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. Fasting was seen by the medieval church as one way of expressing your repentance over sin. Those who refused to fast or who broke their fast privately were considered to be impenitent sinners, and they were punished accordingly by the state. Today in the Roman Catholic Church, although fasting is still seen as a sign of repentance, the demands of the church are not as rigorous as they were in medieval times. Overall reduction in food intake, which is the fast, strictly speaking, means you're eating less food, is only required by the Catholic Church on this day, Ash Wednesday, and also Good Friday. Abstinence, which is only a fast of meat, is prescribed by that church for both of those days, plus all the Fridays in Lent, with some exceptions being made for age or special situations. That's where we are today in that church. Zwingli was right because he listened to what our Lord said in the scriptures. One passage where our Lord's will is clear in this matter is our gospel lesson for this evening. Look at verse 17, where Jesus says, "When you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And if your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." There's no if. "And your Father will reward you." If a Christian fast is supposed to be done in secret, as Jesus says here, how did the church ever think that it could regulate it? Regulation can only be done where there is public practice or public evidence. Now let's look at the other two acts of religion described in our text, which is from the Sermon on the Mount. In verses 1 to 4, Jesus talks about giving to charity. Notice verse 3, where Jesus says, "Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret." In verses 5 to 6, Jesus talks about private prayer. Notice verse 6, where Jesus says, "When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." All three of these things, private prayer, giving to charity, and fasting, are acts of religion that should be done in private, and they're only between you and God. Now, how did the Christian church get so wrong so early on something so obvious? I think it happened this way. The Christian church realized early on that it had to make some rules for the public acts of religion, for the sake of unity and harmony in the church. It certainly did this in the case of the liturgy and the church calendar. One of the first decisions of this sort was when to meet together for worship on a weekly basis. You couldn't have everybody deciding that. Sabbath, that is Saturday, was the logical choice for Christians who had once been Jews. But in some places, Sunday became preferred. We know that the city of Troy worshipped on Sunday when St. Paul was there. That's Acts 20, verse 7. Paul also told the Corinthians to gather their offerings on Sunday when they were together. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. A bit later, Emperor Constantine made Sunday the day of Christian rest and worship. That was 321 AD, and so it has been ever since. There were many other decisions that had to be made for the sake of uniformity in the matter of public acts of religion, such as what liturgy to use, the church calendar, the lectionary readings, the dress of the clergy, etc., etc. After the early church got into the habit of regulating public acts of worship, it thought it could then also regulate private acts of religion, like fasting, private prayer, and giving to charity. And so it did that. When the church leaders confused public acts with private acts, they contradicted our Lord in our gospel today and became guilty of a very serious sin. This was the same sin that the Pharisees had committed, that is, imposing religious burdens on the people that were not imposed by God. This sin caused Jesus to verbally attack the scribes and Pharisees with the seven woes in Matthew 23. Does this mean then that private prayer, fasting, and giving to charity is wrong or of no use? Certainly it is not. It is the misuse of these things that Jesus attacked, not their proper use. So then, what is their proper use, proper for us today? With regard to private prayer, we're not talking about prayer we do together in worship, but your private prayer. Let your private prayer remain private. You may pray to God at any time and any place. If people are around, you may pray to God from your heart without speaking out loud or making any gestures. If there's no one around to observe, then you may speak out loud or fold your hands or use gestures like the sign of a cross. Some people have a special place in their house or their bedroom where they pray. Others pray anywhere and any time that they have a spare moment or two, while they're running to get exercise or biking or turning off the radio while in traffic. Just keep it between yourself and God, and you're doing what Jesus has said. With regard to fasting, let your private fast remain private. You may fast at any time, in any place, although I advise no more than a day or two in length. The purpose of fasting is either to restrain the temptations of the body or to devote more time for prayer and the study of God's Word. The Roman Catholic Church says that fasting is only for persons between the age of 14 and 60. And I think that's an excellent rule. And now that I'm over 60, I think I'm off of that one. Minors should always discuss their fast with their parents. The person fasting should remain hydrated, not be involved in any type of physical exercise, and talk to their doctor if there are any possible health risks. So Lutherans are not against fasting in principle, but it has to be done safely. With regard to giving to charity, let your private gifts remain private. We respect this rule in our congregation by not publishing the names and amounts given to our treasury from our members. Years ago, in some congregations, this information was made public. I don't know if it was ever here in Grace, but I know congregations in the Midwest where it was. Today, the financial officers at Grace who record your donations privately do so only for your tax purposes and for the orderly clearing of checks. The fact that this congregation keeps the amount of your contributions private should actually be incentive for you to give more, since your gift is only between you and God. More important than how you do your gifts and your private acts of religion is why you do them. Giving to charity is for the sake of your neighbor or for the necessary support of your Christian congregation or missions. Fasting is for the sake of controlling your body or focusing your concentration. Prayer is for interceding on behalf of your neighbor, making your own needs known to God, and giving thanks and praise to Him. None of these private acts of religion are meritorious in God's sight. None of these acts can compensate for sins that you have committed. Your relationship to God is not determined by these acts at all. Your relationship is determined by the suffering and death of our dear Lord Jesus on the cross. As Lutherans, we are blessed to be members of a church that has firmly and faithfully proclaimed the freedom which Christ has won for us by His perfect obedience and by His suffering and death on the cross. St. Paul writes, and I conclude, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened by a yoke of slavery." Galatians 5:1. During this season of Lent, remember that you are free men and freed women, not slaves. In Jesus' name, amen.